Today on Real Radio.
It is so accurate that you can look back and you can see where God is the one who says that in the sky, in the atmosphere, and in the ocean, there are currents that pass. And everybody wondered what that meant until we found out that there were wind currents in the air and sea currents in the oceans. Everybody debated during the Dark Ages, how was life really sustained? Was it sustained through this, through that, or the other? And Moses said that it comes, life is through the blood. And yet that wasn't discovered until the Dark Ages. Because our God is the God of all creation, of all power, and His Word is accurately given to us, no matter what people might say, you can turn to the Bible with absolute assurance and be convinced of the work of God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament book of Acts. We're in a mini-series called Paul's Great Defense, and we're looking at the end of chapter 26. The Apostle Paul defends himself in this, well, kangaroo court, but evidently so well that he was accused by Festus of having gone mad. Let's continue. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul was able to defend his faith because he was a student of the Word, and he himself penned 2 Timothy 2:15. He's the one who said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't read it, you're not going to have it in you. And if you don't have it in you, you can't give it to anybody. And you say, Jack, that's for preachers, man. That's for guys like you. And that's for Billy Graham. And what do I need this for? Because the scripture says that we ought to be giving people the answers. And can you? Can I? And this is where the Lord took me to task. Am I able to give an answer? As believers, listen. You in these walls, you can say that you're a Christian. And I want to ask you, that's great. But when somebody knocks on your door next Saturday or Tuesday, and they say, why are you a Christian? That's something I love to do. When somebody knocks on my door, I'm going to ask them, why are you a Mormon? The greatest question you can ask anybody in the world is why? You think just three-year-olds did that, didn't you? It's the greatest question you can ask in the whole world. Why? I believe this. Why? When someone knocks on your door, you open the door and they'll say, hi, we're from the Watchtower. Why? Why? Ask them. Nobody asks why anymore. In the same token, if somebody knocks on your door and you say, I'm a Christian, listen, and they say, why? What is the answer you're going to give them? Can you give them an answer? Is it biblical? Well, my grandmother was. That doesn't count. I was born in the church. Doesn't count. Why are you a Christian? What answers can you give them? And are we Christians? Am I a Christian? And you might say, well, you're the pastor. You've got to be a Christian. Oh, no. Read the book carefully. In fact, I have more strikes against me than I've got going for me. Are we Christians? And you say, Jack, why are you saying this on a Sunday morning? I mean, of course we are. Well, just play along with me for a moment. What if I repeatedly get phone calls or counseling sessions, biblical guidance meetings? And one of the first things I'll ask, and after I say this, you will not want to make appointments with me. Because you'll come in and I'll say, so what's going on? Well, this is what's going on. I'll ask, are you a Christian? Oh, yes. Oh, okay, that's great. Do you realize that when we get to know the fact that you're a Christian, I mean, 99% of the counseling's over. You want to know why? We just go to the verse that applies to your situation. Oh, great. Okay, good. Let's go over here to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And this is why you're not hearing, or God's not hearing your prayers, and you're feeling like this, nothing's happening. And then let's go to 1 John 1, 9. Oh, great. And by the way, this verse applies too. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, excuse me. I thought you just said you were a Christian. Well, I am a Christian, but I'm not going to do that. And that right there is the ejection seat for truth. Did they just lose their salvation? No, maybe they never had it, or maybe they're ignorant about the truth. And here's what I mean. A lot of us would like to stand up this morning and say, man, I'm a Christian, you better believe it. Says it on my dog tags even, Christian. Well, listen. Let me give you the definition of Christian and the definition of disciple. This is important to us. It first of all says in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, about what a Christian is. It says that the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied. The dream for every ministry. Right there. Well, Acts 11:28 says, if I'm going too fast, write it down, because time's almost up and we're a quarter of the way through. In Acts 11:26, it says, and the disciples, hey, the guys we just talked about in verse 7 of Acts chapter 6, it says that the disciples began to be called Christians first at Antioch. So you look at the description or the definition of a disciple, and this is what it means. And you can't be a Christian without being a disciple. Everybody with me? I told you before this message started that this was going to upset some of you. Okay? A student, one who learns the ways of his teacher, a follower of the leader. Christian, Greek. Christianos, a follower of Jesus Christ, an imitator of Christ. This is what it means. He who practices the teachings of Christ. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, jot it down in your margin. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you what kind of a man he is. He's like a man who built his house, and he dug down deep, and he built it on the foundation of the rock. And when the floods came in Seattle and Portland and washed them away by the torrents, the house stood firm, for it was well built upon the rock. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house without a foundation, built it upon the sand. And that same torrent came and struck that house, and it collapsed, and its destruction was absolutely complete. Jesus says, you're going to call me Christ, and you Christian, then you do the words I say. And there are people who say they're Christians, and when God says you're not to have sex with someone else's wife or husband, people go, well, it's a quench. Don't call yourself a Christian. At least admit, I'm totally backslidden, man. I'm walking away from the Lord. This is why I'm doing this. You hear what I'm saying? That's a hard thing. And that's tragic. That we have become so, so weak in the Word that we can't even distinguish anymore what is popular versus what is piety in Christ. Oh man, come on, man, that is like ancient history. Okay, well, let's think about modern history. Extramarital sex, premarital sex, people are dying like never before in human history from sexually transmitted diseases. We're counseling, people are meeting together saying, I wish I never would have done this when I was younger, or I wish I never would have tried. You know, never once in my office has someone come in and said, you know, I'm 35 now, and I just want to tell you, I'm so glad, I just want to tell somebody that I was totally promiscuous and was an absolute alcoholic when I was a senior, and it's just really blessed my life. People don't do it. But here's the great thing about God. If you are almost an alcoholic and you're a senior in high school or college or whatever, and you have been promiscuous, the great thing about Christ is he said, now you are clean by the washing of the word that I've spoken to you. Isn't that awesome? Let me tell you something. If you think I'm pointing at you, let me put the fingers back at me. When I was in high school, I had to do the thing. Unfortunately, I was good at sports, and I was one of the captains of the football team, so what are you supposed to do? My friend and I, good friend, he went on to play for the Dallas Cowboys. We couldn't get into the scene. And some of you went to my high school. I couldn't get into the scene. I struggled so rough with what the peer pressure group was doing that Glenn and I went and got two cans of Budweiser beer, poured them out, and poured milk inside of them, and stood at the party so we'd feel better. Hey, brother, how you doing? Great party. No, you bet, man. Party down. And nobody knew there was milk in those cans. Trying to fit in. You know the feeling? No, nobody knows the feeling. This is my thing, and I'm just absolutely nuts. Jack, you are beside yourself, man. Come on. The teens maybe in the next room are listening in right now. Oh, yeah, I can relate to that. Went to a basketball game Thursday night. And I was watching the game. A great game, by the way. I was just blessed. But I was also watching some of the young people, and I was remembering. And you better thank God right now that you're not a teen. And if you know a teen, you better commit that person to prayer. I wished somebody would have stood up in my high school campus and said, hey, you know what? The Bible says no sex before marriage. The Bible says no drugs, man. It'll ruin your life. Because God wants to slap your hand and give you a bummer life? Because he wants to give you life, not some stupid, destructive, temporary buzz on sex or drugs or violence or whatever it is. And I would to God somebody would have stood up and said, hey, I'm going to give you a reason why you shouldn't go with the flow. At least I could have said to my friends and to my co-captains, I'm not going to do it because that guy said so. I had nobody. God gives us a second chance, though, thank God. I should be dead for the past that I came out of. But notice Paul's logic. He says in verse 25, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak the words of truth and of reason. Truth, the word means veracity, integrity, accuracy, exactness. You ought to jot it down because this gets fun. I speak the words of exactness, of accuracy. I like this. And reason. The word reason means, listen, the word means sanity. Paul, you're insane. Aha, no, not true. In fact, I speak the words of absolute sanity. Isn't that cool how he came back with the counter? Oh, no. Not only am I sane, Festus, but I speak the words of absolute accuracy. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible is 100% accurate? I don't care what grandma said. I don't care what your high school philosophy teacher might have said or your PhD friend. Ask them, tell them, you'll give them $1 million if they can find one contradiction in the Bible. I don't know whose million you're going to give them, but you're not going to have to give them any millions. That's my point. You can't find one. Well, that's not what I heard. Yeah, you know what? That's what you heard, isn't it? But that's not true. So you can either be committed to the truth and to reason, or we can wind up getting caught up in falsehood and foolish thinking, because that's exactly what this means. Truth and reason means accuracy and sanity, or you can fall for falsehood and foolish thinking, which is a lie and insanity. Madness. So which one will you choose? I'm talking to the Christian this morning. Which one are you going to follow? Are we going to commit ourselves to study this book? Or we want to play games? You don't have to go to Moscow to see people perishing. You can look outside your window. And the only thing that will rescue them is the truth of Christ. We need to keep going so we can wrap this up. I am so blessed by Paul's example because you know what? It's Jesus' example. And may all of us who know the Lord give this example. It's the style that Jesus set for us to be Christians. And aren't you glad the way Jesus taught? You know what he did? He didn't build a seminary or a cemetery. Cemetery, seminary. Same thing. He didn't get a chalkboard and say, now, point one. Subpoint A. You know what he did? He sat the boys down on the roadside and he said, okay, stay right here. Watch. He walked over and he witnessed to the rich young ruler. Now, he goes back and he says, you see that? Come on, let's go over here. He showed them. Jesus taught by doing. We do not teach anyone, listen, teachers, we don't teach anybody what we truly want to by just regurgitating the book in front of them. We get down and we show them. And the best way to teach them is let them feel what you're teaching them. Hands on. I don't care if it's math, I don't care if it's trig, I don't care if it's geology, I don't care. Let them touch it. Will you let them feel it? Jesus taught that way. He took his classroom outside the walls and he sat them down and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And he taught by example. And I'm grateful that Paul picked up on it because we can do the same thing. And by God's grace, we're doing it right now. You teach by doing, not by talking about it. You can talk about it, but can you do it? I can tell you about the 4-minute mile, but I can't run one. And I can't tell you how to train for one because I've never done it. And a lot of Christians cannot lead someone to Christ because maybe themselves have never come to Christ themselves and they've labeled themselves a Christian. Or, like I hope is the case for some, you just don't know how. And boy, we can sure fix that. But who are we? The second point I want you to see, and this will go quickly now, we'll wrap this up. The second point is that Paul had confidence in the work of God. Verses 28 to 29. I love this. Let's back up to verse 27, sorry. Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe the prophets. I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Watch this. This is fun. Verse 27. Paul's a great guy. Isn't he how he slides that in? But it was absolutely true. Agrippa knew. He says, King, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Didn't even get a chance to respond. Why? Because it is truth and it is reason. And here's my point. Because the Bible is 100% accurate, I can take you to some other country, I can take you to some other kingdom, I can take you to some other event in the scripture with accuracy, so much so that the Smithsonian Institute will say, yes, that's exactly true, we've been there, we dug it up. It's the book of authenticity. It is so accurate that you can look back and you can see where God is the one who says that in the sky, in the atmosphere, and in the ocean, there are currents that pass. And everybody wondered what that meant until we found out that there were wind currents in the air and sea currents in the oceans. Everybody debated during the Dark Ages, how was life really sustained? Was it sustained through this, through that, or the other? And Moses said that it comes, life is through the blood. And yet that wasn't discovered until the Dark Ages. Because our God is the God of all creation, of all power, and His Word is accurately given to us, no matter what people might say, you can turn to the Bible with absolute assurance and be convinced of the work of God. Are you? And am I? When He says, you know these things, Agrippa, the point is, you can't deny the prophets. And it doesn't matter this morning. I love you guys, but look, and don't take this as me being angry at with you. I don't care what you think about the scriptures. The fact is they're true no matter what opinion we formulate. You're not the first one. I'm not the first one to come along and doubt the Bible. But the more you get into it, the more you see, the more you become a student, the more you search Him out, the more you find Him out. And you're convinced. No, you're deceived. No, you're brainwashed. That's what I mean. No, your brain is washed. We're born doubters. Well, we're born kind of trusting as kids, but quickly we become doubters. How quickly. And so, Paul trusted in the work of God. And then watch this. Third point, final point, Paul's peace came from the will of God. He says in verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only you, that is Agrippa, but also all those who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains hanging around my arms and legs. And when he had said these things, verse 30, the king stood up as well as the governor and Bernice. And those who sat with them, boy, that king sprung up and everybody jumps to their feet. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man has done nothing worthy of death or of chains. He said in the word right here, almost, to a point or to a degree or to somewhat, you've convinced me. The word persuade means to convince by argument of truth, to be giving truth in a convincing or authoritative manner. Some people, and in some of your Bibles, we're almost done, jot this down if it's different. Some of your Bibles of the more recent translations have taken it upon themselves to interpret what Agrippa meant. Some of your scriptures have in there, do you think you're going to make me a Christian by talking to me in such a short time? And do you know that there is no one that knows the answer to this question? We just have the word stated, that we know for a fact. But we don't know the spirit that was behind it. That's why in my Bible, the New King James Version and the Old King James Version says that Agrippa says, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. It's just a statement, but we can't hear the inflection of the tone of the voice. So it's wrong to have somebody interpret that. You understand what I'm saying? And here's the beautiful side of it. Which way did it go? Did he say, ha! You almost persuade me to be a Christian. Right. Or did he say, you know what? The accuracy of the Bible, my father, my grandfather, who was ruler over Jerusalem, told me all about these things that happened. In fact, he was responsible for killing all those babies when Jesus was born, just like the Old Testament says. He acted out scripture. And then I'm thinking about my dad. And you know what? I think about what this crazy little Jewish man is saying, and it's all true. I can't deny it. That's why Paul said, you know these things are true. You can't deny them. And I argue with you this morning, you know these things are true, and you're hoping they're not true. But the fact is, they're true. And you're hoping someday when it all pans out in the end that you'll be right and the Bible will be wrong. Listen, don't fool yourself, man. Get right with God today. The word is repent. It means to change the course you're on. It's a nautical term. If you're going north, turn it around, go south. You cannot any longer claim that the Bible is unworthy of your faith, because it is. You cannot claim that Jesus is encased in some tomb and we can go look at his dust or his bones. You can't.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Paul's Great Defense, this part of which looks at the last few verses of Acts chapter 26. We'll resume with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, we are winding to the close of this series of presentations in the book of Acts, and what we've done is condensed its entirety all onto one MP3 CD. So, as is often the case, our offer is this. For your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO, or click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or the traditional way, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And by the way, if you missed any of this contact information, it can all be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.